For those of you that don't know me, I'm Pastor Troy. I made my introduction in the beginning, but here's one thing you might want to need to know about me. I'm a crybaby. I love Jesus, man, with all that I am, with all that I have. And I'm not ashamed of that fact. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. I can barely see the clock. Okay, I got it. About the distant cross. This is audience participation. Don't let first service outdo you. They did good. But I wonder if you would agree with the following view of the cross. I want to read it to you. I want you to think about it as I read it, and then you can let me know what you think. The crucifixion of Christ was a once and for all substitution of the Son of God in my place, so that I would not have to suffer but could enjoy the abundant life that he purchased for me. Who would agree with that statement? Yeah, Natalie's like, it's a good statement. It's actually the worldview. It's common. If not in practice, in theory, it's common. But it leaves out one little thing. And that is what Luke tells us in chapter 9. Verse 23, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you have your electronic devices, you can turn there. Or you can use the convenience of the screen, which is really cool, but it makes us lazy in our Bible turning sometimes. But I want to read to you what Luke says. The problem with this view is that it leaves out this fact. Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. How many people are familiar with that passage? Yes? Yeah, we're brave enough to say that we practice it every day. When Christ died on the cross for sinners, he not only stood in my place doing what I couldn't do, which was forgiving myself, but he also showed me what I must do if I wanted to live, if I wanted to save my life. And that was namely to pick up my cross and to follow him on this Calvary road. And listen, can I just make a bold statement here? Picking up your cross and following him according to the scripture is unto death, not unto riches. If God blesses you in the process, that's great. If there's a gospel out there today that says, you want to be healthy, wealthy, wise, everything's hunky-dory at home, come to Jesus, he'll make you rich, he'll fix everything, it'll all be good. It's called the prosperity doctrine, and some of you may be following it. If you are, this isn't meant to offend you, but I hate it because it's not gospel. It's not gospel. The apostles were not rich. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he wanted to start out making a bunch of people just filthy rich and happy, then he would have started with them. But he didn't. Life as they knew it and as we know it started at the cross. It ended at the cross with Christ's sacrifice for us. I'm here this morning because I want us to remember the cross. We have a tendency in our lives, busy days. If you're busy, raise your hand. Struggle is the same, me too. But we forget the cross. Paul had the same problem when he was dealing with the Corinthians. They forgot the cross. They elevated themselves. They went past the cross. They figured that they had made it to kingsmanship. That they had elevated past the cross, that there was no need for the cross. And Paul struggled with that when he was dealing with them in Corinthians. It wasn't a pretty sight. Read Corinthians. Anybody read Corinthians? Read it again. It's good stuff. For us, the cross is not merely a place of past substitution. It's not a statue that we can put in the corner and say, we're beyond that. I was saved 30 years ago. I'm beyond the cross. No, never. But rather, the cross for us should be a place of daily execution, just like it was for Paul. Paul made tents in the presence of the cross. He preached the gospel in the presence of the cross. He had dissent, debates with opponents in the presence of the cross. It was always the cross. Always the cross. Paul says in Romans 6, verse 6, our old self was crucified with him so that the sinful body might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved by sin. How many believe that? Amen. Once and for all. Listen, there's a reason why Christ went to the cross. It was for you and for you and for me, and we sing it and we proclaim it all the time. Are we holding on to it throughout the week? I'm crazy busy, man. Crazy busy. I work a full-time job. And oftentimes I'm out helping other people do other things. Victims of domestic violence, drug abuse, you name it, I'm out. And then I have a family. It's a tough balance for me. And somewhere in there, I have to find time to draw close to Him, to draw close to the cross. If I don't, to me, it becomes this distant thing. Listen, y'all been doing this a long time. And you know that I'm right when I say that if you become distant from the cross, the atmosphere changes in you and in your home and in your workplace. It changes. It just changes. You cannot live your life apart from the cross. No one can. I'm here this morning to ask us and to beg those of us that have let it get distant to bring it back to the forefront. That's what Paul was doing in Corinth. He said, reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive and to God in Christ Jesus. In other words, never let the cross lose its crucifying power for you. It is the power to take you to the place that you need to be in Him. Everything you will ever need now, tomorrow, and in the future will always be settled through the cross. God is faithful and just. His promises are true, but we still have an obligation to press in. Amen. We can't let the cross be some old statue that we used to know about, some old song that we used to sing. What happened to the old rugged cross? It got modernized. That's cool. But the older I get, the more old school I get. Right? I just love the old stuff, man. I just do. You know why? Because it's simple. It's simple and it's direct and it's true. Paul said if you must save your life, in order to do that, you need to lose it. If you follow Jesus, you might take up your cross daily. And I think that the great tragedy of our contemporary Christianity, especially in this country, is that the cross has been safely designated in the distant past. We've moved on to other things. There's more world in the church now than there is church in the world. There are things taken over the church culturally that was never there from the beginning. And the only reason that we have allowed this to happen is that we've lost the power of the cross because we've designated it over here. It's just a thing on the wall. No, it's life. Jesus Christ's crucifixion was for all of us. His sacrifice was for all of us. And dare we forget the work of the cross? We're going to have communion here this morning. And you know what that is? It's remembering Him. Right? His broken body and His blood. Remembering Him. There's a lot of pride, a lot of boasting, a lot of stuff going on in Corinth. And Paul really just wanted to show them that it was all about life and the cross. Paul preached from the cross. He wanted them to know that the cross isn't merely a place of past substitution, but it should also to us present a place of daily execution for us, the execution of pride, boastfulness, the love of money, sexual sin, whatever's going on in your life, that's where we need to place the cross. It needs to be a place of execution. Jesus paid for it all, one and done, long time ago. Amen? But we have this ability to let it creep back and to bring it back. We have the ability to get disappointed. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody in here that's ever just wanted to quit? Raise your hand. Now, I'm not raising my hand to get you to raise yours. I'm raising my hand because the struggle is the same. Me too. About 3 years ago, I just wanted to take my ball and go home. I didn't want to play no more. You know why I got to that point? Because I was pouring out. We had the church courageous. We're doing a lot of stuff. Things were crazy. God was moving. I was dealing with people. You can ask my wife. No less than 3 times a week, I was running somebody to rehab or I was responding to an emergency. And that all sounds great. Look at me go. But guess what happened? I got out of bounds. I just assumed that He knew, and here I go, watch me go. And He's there. And you know what happened? I quit pressing in. I just went to doing. My work is no substitute for the work of the cross. My work is no substitute for me spending time with Him and personal one-on-one intimacy. No different than you spending time with a loved one. You need to have it. You have to have it. It's the glue that holds you together. The cross is the glue that holds us together. The things that happened on the cross is the things that brings us to church on Sunday. Why else do we come if we don't believe it? Yes. Paul always wanted to do everything in relation to Christ and Christ crucified. I got to tell you, I struggle with this message. Outside of this church, it's not common. We don't talk about the cross. We don't talk about hard things. We don't talk about personal responsibility anymore. I preached this message to the first church, or the first service, and it felt like I had to go and make sure I didn't have an appointment at the principal's office on Monday. This is what I love about this church. This church shares truth. Unashamed. And for me to have the ability to come up and be free in this pulpit and to share with you things that you've probably already heard before is a huge honor, and it's a blessing for me, and it speaks a great deal about this church, the people in this church, and the direction that this church is going. Amen. We have a wonderful pastor in Pastor Ray, and I want you to keep him in your prayers as he's in D.C. this week. You're probably thinking, what's that got to do with Paul? Well, Paul led the way, so is Pastor Ray, and I'm following him. Amen. And I would hope that you are too. Amen. Paul says that the reason that he came to Corinth was because he not only wanted to address this situation with them, but I like the verse that says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What does that mean? Anybody know what that means? Anybody, can you give me a definition? What does that verse mean? He wanted to know nothing among them except for Jesus and him crucified. Anybody got an answer? Just wanted to work. Anybody else? It's okay to share in church. Y'all know that, right? Did I break a rule here? It's okay. I'm good to go. Listen, here's what I think it means. Whatever else he knew or whatever else he spoke about or whatever else he did, he would know it, he would do it, and he would say it from the cross. Yes? I don't want to know nothing but the cross and Jesus and him crucified. And whatever I do, I'm going to do it in relationship to the cross. Do we do that today? You don't have to answer. I struggle. Man, I have moments where I'm just like, I don't feel like it. Yeah. I must be the only one. Y'all pray for me. But I'm serious. We all have moments when it's like pressure just coming down. And we're tired and we're fatigued, and then there's the sickness that runs through the house for like a month, right? And all this stuff is going on, real life pressure, and we don't feel like pressing in. Here's the problem: your health and your recovering comes from the cross. Yeah. I mean, Dayquil, NyQuil, all that stuff might help, but hey, your true recovery comes from the cross. We need to learn how to be sick through the cross. Amen. Yeah, and some will go, well, that's like heresy. You can be sick through the cross. How can you? Email Pastor Ray, don't email me. Paul will not and did not let the cross become some sort of historical statue. He didn't. It's like I said before. He made tents in the shadow of the cross. Whatever he did was in the shadow of the cross. How many people know Paul was a tent maker? Yeah, it's because he needed some money to continue his journey because there was only a few people that were helping him out. But that's for a different story. What Paul wanted more than anything in his life is the same thing that I desire. And that's to just get out of the way so the power of God can have its way with me. And that's so hard. It is. I get it. I could say a lot of neat things and throw out a lot of cool platitudes, but the truth of the matter is, it's hard. And we struggle. And sometimes we don't want to admit it, but we do. But I'm telling you, healing is at the cross. God gives us a simple command. He's like, listen, if you will draw close to me, I will draw close to you. How many people are familiar with that verse? It's simple. Listen, just come here. Come here. And then we choose to worship. Or we choose not to. It's on us. It's not on him. The cross has never changed. It's always been the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've changed. We've moved. Some of us. I'm guilty. Just because I'm up here doesn't mean this morning I didn't get up and put these jeans on one leg at a time. I'm the same. The struggle is the same. Me too. but your healing, your wellness, your stability can be found at the cross. It doesn't matter to me how you get there. You just got to get there. Broken, in a mess, in a heap, in a pile, crawling on your hands and knees, just whatever you got to do, get there. God is faithful and just to fulfill the desires of the hearts of those that love him. That's scripture. It's not on the board. We need a renewal in our spirit. You should be here where I'm at looking at you. It's quiet like a church mouse in here. This is true. This gospel is the truth. Nothing's changed. He hasn't changed. We've changed. In closing, I hate to use this word, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm begging you today. Don't treat the cross like some historical image. It is the very power of God to change your life. Do you remember when? Do you remember when you were first saved? Do you remember when the cross was the very power of God to change your life? And you first came to know him. Do you remember when? Do you remember when you were full of zeal and passion and excitement and you just couldn't stop sharing it with people? Do you remember when? That same power that resided in you and affected you then is the same power that lives today. It's just that for some of us, we might be 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or in my case, 35 years removed. But it's the same. It doesn't change, saints. It never has. And it never will. It is the power unto salvation. This is the simplicity of the gospel. In a nutshell, if you would be his disciple and save your life, you'd have to pick up your cross in order to not lose it. And if we were to leave here today and there was a parking lot full of crosses that Jesus put there with your name on it, would you pick it up? Or would you have to think about it? There have been times in my life where I'd have to think about it. Because this is not easy. When I stand before my God, I will stand before my God by myself. My wife won't be there, nor my children, nor anyone in my family that's passed, nor my pastor. It's me. It's me. It's me. All alone. Me and him. Did I pick it up or did I just leave it a relic of the past? Am I pressing into it every day or am I just kind of sort of? We all have moments of kind of sort of. I get it. But our precedent has to be more than that. Things are changing in this country and around the world so fast. I'm not trying to make this political, but things are happening so fast. There may come a day in your lifetime when we can't sit in a pew like this. I have brothers and sisters in China, in the underground church, that have to meet in caves and in forests and in different places out of sight from authorities. Why? Because they could be arrested, imprisoned, and in some places killed. We have brothers and sisters across the Middle East that are suffering every day for the sake of the cross. Every day. We don't have that here in America. Because we've made it a distant relic. For some of us, it's a distant relic. We need a renewal and a refreshing. We need God to create in us a new thing and to bring us back to the source of our salvation. In Revelations, I know Pastor's going to talk about the churches here coming up in another series, but I like the letters to the churches because I like when he talks about the church that's lost its first love. The directions that was given to them was really simple. And it's like, you want it back? Do you want it back? Do you want the joy of your salvation? Do you want it to be like it was? Then go back and do the things you did in the beginning. They left it. That's the only reason. They lost their loves because they left it. God didn't leave. I hurt this morning. I hurt for those people that I know that hear that, but they don't get it. Not just here, just wherever I go, because I share the gospel wherever I go, because that's just what I do, because I don't want to see people perish. My prayer for us is that He will renew in us that passion, and we will have the courage to go back to where we were. Start again at the cross. Yes? Amen? This morning, as we take the instruments of communion, I want to ask that we would examine ourselves. To use a modern term for you younger folks, if we need to make an adjustment to our settings, now's the time to do it. We have the elders come up. Father, we bow before you this morning in humility. And we ask you to examine our hearts today. Show us what's not pleasing to you. Reveal any secret pride or any unconfessed sin, any rebellion or unforgiveness that might be hindering my relationship with you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for you paying the penalty for my sinfulness. The price you paid covered us for all time. And our desire is to live for you. We just give you glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.